Well, if you would turn with me to Psalm 14 in your Bibles, please. It has only seven verses. We'll read all seven. Verses 1 to 7, the Old Testament, Psalm 14. The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looketh down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside, they are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread, and call not upon the Lord? There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people, and Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad." Amen. And may God add his blessing to that reading of his own precious word. Well, we turn this afternoon to what I would call this a resume. We've looked at the various doctrines pertaining to God, his revelation, general, that is, in creation, and of course his special revelation in the Word of God in Holy Scripture. We've looked at the doctrine of creation and providence and, other relating matters. But this, before we turn to the doctrine of man, that is the creation of man, the fall, and other associated doctrines, this afternoon we're going to look at, what I would call the doctrine of evolution, which of course is very predominant in our land, in the Western world today. You call it evolution, call it atheism, call it godlessness, call it what you will, infidels. That really sums up the majority, the masses of people in our land in the United Kingdom today. It is prevalent, it is deeply entrenched in the nation amongst elderly, middle-aged and even young people alike. The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." That sums up their philosophy. That sums up their thinking. And so, by way of resume of the doctrines that we've looked at, the doctrine of God relative doctrines, this, if you like, sums it up and puts it all in perspective. So here King David, the psalmist, in verse 1 of Psalm 14, he says here, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works, there is none that doeth good." Here he describes the disorderly and the desolate state of Judah in this particular time, this point in history. All remembrance of God has gone from the minds of the people. Every trace of the fear of God has vanished, and every mark of respect, even for their fellow man, for their neighbor, has gone also. And they are left with as much integrity and uprightness as they have godliness. There is none. It is all gone. Atheism abounds, infidels, the sin of all sins. To say that there is no God in your mind, in your heart, that is the sin of all sin. Because that's the one sin that keeps a person from God, from his kingdom, from his blessings, of covenant fellowship, of forgiveness. That's the sin that blocks the forgiveness of all the others. Unbelief. What we think, David says, determines what we are. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7 says that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's our thinking, you see, that dominates our lives. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. What David means by heart, he means mind. I remind you that the Bible throughout, when it speaks about the heart, it speaks about the mind. The mind, the mind, the mind, beloved, is the seat. That's where life issues from, the mind. As a man thinketh in his heart, in his mind, so is he. Now I say that, very important that you grasp and that you remember that, because foolish preachers even speak about it. They say, oh, you've got it in your mind, but it needs to get down into your heart. That is foolish nonsense, because there is nothing in between the mind and the heart. Both are the same in biblical terms. To have it in your mind is to have it in your heart. To have it in your heart is to have it in your mind. But what we think, you see, what a person thinks, what a person says in their minds dominates their lives. It will affect everything we are and everything that we do. It will affect the way that you live. It will affect your conversation. It will affect your actions. It will affect your emotions even. Every single cause has an effect, has an outworking, and this cause, this foolish thinking in a person's mind that there is no God, has an effect too, has an outworking, says David, the consequences of it in a person's life, in a society, is devastating. David speaks here, obviously, with some conviction. He is surrounded by the effects of this cause. He is surrounded with the depths and the extent, the effects, the outworking of this philosophy, this thinking in their minds. There is no God. These melancholic, these depressing effects result in any society, in any day, in any generation, any historical period, in God's world, even our own society today. They say foolishly in their heart, they have no time for our doctrines about general revelation, about special revelation in the Bible, about God's providence, any of these doctrines that we have looked at over the last 7 weeks, they will have nothing to do with. Point blank, they say, in their minds, there is no God. And David here suggests that these outworkings, these effects, they are the result of wrong thinking. The cause of the effects, the mind, the human mind, the human heart. The mind, the heart, is the seat of our being. Not the emotions, not the circumstances, but the mind, the innermost core of our being, the heart and mind of man. Because it is from the mind, from the heart comes, I'm using both words because I want you to grasp that they both mean the same thing, heart and mind. From the heart, from the mind comes, stems, says the author of Proverbs, stems the issues of life. As you think, whatever you think, it will have consequences, results in your life. Our emotions, our desires, our circumstances, everything is affected by what we think, what we have in our minds. What a person is like inwardly, in their minds, in their hearts, determines what they will be outwardly and what they will be behaviorally. The thinking in its infancy, this thinking I mean, well, you to find the cause, you need to return, you need to go back to the infancy of human history, which we shall look at more in detail next Wednesday. God made man in his own image, in the moral image of God. No problems, righteousness, wanting for nothing, perfection before God, a true knowledge of God, understanding of God, understanding of God's will and what God required of him. Genesis chapter 2 and verses 16 and 17 make this clear to us. And then comes the tragedy, then comes the disobedience, then comes the fall, then comes the darkness. The first input of doubt comes from the serpent, comes from Satan into Adam's mind. Hath God said, Adam? Injecting doubt, unbelief into his mind, into his heart, into his thinking. Unbelief. Until the entire race is affected with the same unbelief, the same sin, the same darkness, and the same loss of the true knowledge of God and his will. Man is fallen from a tremendous height of the glorious image of God into what David describes here as corruption, darkness, and death. Fallen from a great height, from the perfection of goodness to utter badness, from security to despair, from uprightness to corruptness, integrity to deceitfulness, from happiness to misery. And Genesis 6 verse 5, we are told there, and God saw that the continual thinking, mindset, heart of man was only and continually evil. Until you can say in Jeremiah 17 verse 9 that man's heart, his mind, is deceitful and desperately wicked. The worst thing that God sees in the entirety of this world today is the state, the condition of man's mind, heart. The thinking's growth, the condition spread. It's passed on from one generation to another, from Adam and Eve, our first parents, through every generation, right down until this time, and we ourselves as parents pass on that same sinful, wicked nature to our children alike. Until God can say truthfully that all are guilty, all are infected, there is not a man. That sinneth not. The children, of course, learn the habits of their parents, of their teachers and their peers, but because they have an infected nature to begin with, because they have a bias towards unbelief, they have a bias, a leaning away from God. And so they very quickly, they very swiftly catch the evil and wicked habits of both parents, teachers, and, of course, more predominantly, I guess, maybe their peers as they grow older. Nothing spreads so quick like wildfire as unbelief. God gave man the light of creation. We saw under the doctrine of general revelation. There God says that he is manifest to all of his creatures that he is. He's quenched that light with unbelief and darkness in his mind. God has given man the light of his law from Mount Sinai through Moses. Those 10 commandments summing up the law of God were issued to humankind. And what does man do with the light? He quenches it with unbelief and darkness in his mind. God gave to man the light of the prophets, declaring the Messiah to come, and that light likewise is quenched with unbelief and darkness of mind. The light of the world, God's only begotten Son, comes into the world, and that light is quenched likewise with unbelief and darkness of mind. Darkness, deception, and disobedience. No or wrong ideas about God, about sin, about the Son of God. No idea of where his true happiness lies anymore. Pleasure, power, pride, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. The fool has said in his mind, in his heart, there is no God. That's the cause. And the creed behind the effects, their creed is, no God. You may not believe the Bible, but everyone has a creed. Everyone has a belief. The atheist, his belief, his creed is, there is no God. This is his creed here in this verse, in Psalm 14 and verse 1. Everyone has a creed. Everyone believes something. There is nobody on this planet who does not believe something. Now, they might believe there is no God. They believe the wrong thing, but that is their creed. This is the atheist's. This is the evolutionist's creed. There is no God. A creed, of course, is the summary of their religious beliefs, you see, and atheism is a religious creed. Evolution is a religious creed. That is their creed. That is the summary, if you like, of their religious belief. Because evolution, you see, is a religion. That is their religion, evolutionism. The summary of his religious beliefs summed up here in Psalm 14 verse 1, there is no God. Really, there is no such thing as an atheist. All possess a God consciousness, as we saw under the doctrine of general revelation, because God has stamped it upon our beings. It is an inescapable fact for man. But what does he do? He loves the darkness. It's his wishful thinking. He doesn't want there to be a God. He wishfully thinks God away in his mind and his heart. Why? Because he loves the darkness rather than the light, says John in his Gospel in chapter 1. Why does he not accept the existence of God? Because to accept the existence of God would cause him to be responsible. He would have to acknowledge his responsibilities before God. To accept the atheist's creed, to say that there is no God, you see, that allows man to please himself. He wants, he wishes, in his mind, he wishes that there were no God. So that he can just simply please himself, live as he wants, without any accountability and without any responsibility. Now, man naturally opposes the truth. Paul says in Romans 1 verse 18, he suppresses, he holds down the truth about God in unrighteousness. He suppresses it because he doesn't want it to be true. The serpent fed our first parents with the lie, thou shalt not surely die. And mankind swallowed the lie, and now man thinks just exactly the same. He lives under the delusion of that lie. Humanity at large, in its masses, still accepts that lie today and lives in the false hope with this delusion in his mind that there is no God. But it is no hope at all. Hopeful thinking. It stems from the rebellious heart. In his hostility towards God in his mind, the carnal mind, the apostle says in Romans chapter 8 verse 7, is at enmity with God, enmity against God, hostile to God, and of course to God's law as well. He may not do it consciously, he may do it subconsciously, but he lives day by day shaking his fist in his Maker's face. In fact, Jeremiah, he says in chapter 4 and verse 22, he is very wise, or he is very clever, he's very cunning, he's very crafty to do evil. Man is absolutely ingenious when it comes to doing evil. He contrives after wealth, after his lusts and power, but it's all encapsulated in his creed. There is no God. He lives in the hope that there is no God. and that there will be no retribution, there will be no judgment. He can sin with impunity. Why? Because of this hope that rests in his mind, there is no God. But I suggest to you, as David does here this afternoon in Psalm 14 and verse 1, that this is insane thinking. The word fool here, the fool has said in his heart, in his mind, David says, the word fool in the original Hebrew is the word Nabal. Now it doesn't just simply mean silly. Sometimes we say to our children, you're being foolish. And what we mean is they're being silly. Well, it's much more than just being silly. It means perverse, it means vile, it means contemptible. The perverse, the vile, the contemptible has said in his heart there is no God. Because you see, atheism is moral madness. It is nothing short of insanity. Man examines the evidence submitted to him in a perfectly reasonable way by God. He makes an estimate of the value of that evidence that is submitted, that is placed before him. All of creation, everything that God has wonderfully and fearfully made, he submits before him the evidence of the wisdom of his special revelation in Holy Scripture. And yet man flies in the face of everything that his Creator God has revealed to him and even spoken to him. The drug addict, the alcoholic, the drunkard, the immoral person knows in his or her heart that they are killing, that they are ruining themselves in body and soul with their sin, and yet they keep on that course. The atheist, the evolutionist, the ungodly person knows in his heart that there is a God. In their mind, they know that there's a God. And yet they go on killing themselves. They go on in this course of suicide. His wages are sin, and he well knows it, death. Sin, when it is full blown, bringeth forth death, James says. Chapter 1, verse 15. The prodigal son abandons his father, the home that where he so well looked after and cared for all his father's servants around him. He surrenders it, he abandons it all for a pigsty, and he sits in the midst of that pigsty knowing that he's got a wonderful father and home back there up the road, but he sits there in that pigsty in all that muck and filth and starving to death. What do you call that, beloved, but moral madness? There's a sense in which a person, a man, can believe what they want in their mind. You can believe in the man in the moon. You can believe that the moon is made of cheese if you want. But it is only belief in the truth that brings salvation. And we have a God-given creed. Not the atheist's creed, not the evolutionist's creed. We have a God, a divinely appointed creed, the Bible, the revealed word of God, truth, the only source of truth, reliable and able, says the apostle, 2 Timothy 3:15, that is able, has the ability to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, to drive out the foolishness of the atheist's creed that there is no God. And our creed, the Bible, the revealed word of God, begins with the clear and authoritative statement, Genesis 1 verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It is the truth, Jesus says, that makes a person free, that liberates them from this foolish, this perverse, this vile, this contemptible thinking. It is the truth that makes a man or woman free, liberates them, and brings them from insane thinking to sane thinking, to a concrete hope, reality of thinking. But then David speaks about the consequences themselves. Corruptions, he says. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. All gone aside, all together become filthy, none that doeth good, no, not one, workers of iniquity, eat up my people as though they were bread. They call not upon the name of the Lord. You see, cause and effect. Night follows day, evil follows atheism. Evil follows atheism just as night follows day. Cause and effect, you cannot get away from it. Sin is the cause and the effect of it, is what David lays before us here this afternoon. You teach people that they evolved from animals. You teach people the doctrine of evolution, and you keep repeating it over and over again as it is done to them in their homes by parents, in schools from kindergarten all the way through to university, and then through the media and all the rest of it. It's pumped into them. It's entrenched in their minds. You teach people this evolutionary nonsense that they came from animals, whether it be ducks, apes, or monkeys. Well, do not be surprised, beloved, when they begin to behave like those animals. Because that's the effect, says David. That's the consequences. That's the outworking of this creed of theirs, that there is no God in their foolish, darkened minds. You once convince a person or a society that there is no God, then you watch out. All restraint is cast off. God is dragged from his throne, and man puts himself in God's place. He becomes his own God. And they become utterly fearless in sin. They become brazen and bold in sin. And they commit the most atrocious abominations amongst themselves and before God. That's the consequence. That's the effect. The cause is their creed. There is no God, and the effect of it is lawlessness. Lawlessness abounds on every front, just as it does in your own society today. You can see the effect. You can see it by experience right before your very own eyes, in your own nation, in your own communities today. Their conduct, says David, as a result of what is in their mind, is corrupt. Courts in your own land today are full of remorseless criminals that have done the most atrocious deeds to their fellow human beings, to men, women, and children alike. They are found guilty, they are condemned by the court, by the judge, and they are sentenced, and yet they stand there in the dock of the court, utterly emotionless. Why? Because their consciences have been hardened. Because their conscience has been seared as with a hot iron, as the apostle puts it. They no longer have any sense of what's right and wrong, what's decent and good, what's good or evil. Sin is lawlessness, 1 John 3 verse 4. And you have, in terms of, as of a preacher of the gospel, you have even to explain that to people on the streets today, exactly what sin is. So darkened, and so foolish, and so perverse, and so vile, and so contemptible have they become before God. The effects, the outworking of their creed that there is no God, the foolishness, the perverseness in their mind. And that lawlessness, it issues in sins of commission. They have done that which is abominable, says David, that which is abhorrent before man, before godly men at least anyway, and before God. That which is detested, which would fill the mind with horror, utter disregard for human life, or the well-being of one another. In verse 4a, he says, "Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread? They consume human beings, beloved, just as though they were consuming bread. Millions and millions and millions of unborn infants slaughtered in your society day after day through by the means of abortion. Just a fetus, just a thing, just a blob of flesh like any other animal. Not to mention the death by drugs and immorality and all other humanly caused, immorally caused diseases. No, they have done that which is abominable, an utter disregard for human life. Where do you think Hitler? Where do you think Stalin? Where do you think Mao Zedong? How do you think men like Saddam Hussein, where do they come from and how do they cause, how are they able to perpetrate the slaughter that they did? Hitler, Stalin and Mao Zedong, between those three men in the space of one century, they killed by violent means over 120 million people. They didn't do it with their bare hands. They did it with their minds, because in their minds they held this creed, this foolishness, this darkness, that there is no God, and that's what permitted them, that's what liberated them to cause that slaughter and mayhem in the midst of humanity. But they didn't do it themselves. They didn't do the actual killing, slaughtering themselves. They embraced the creed, they embraced the philosophy, and they taught it, they perpetrated it throughout the rest of their societies. And of course, such men never have a lack of support. And as other people in their societies embraced their same philosophy, they were able to go out and do the killing for them. In death camps, in slaughterhouses, where men suffered, men and women suffered, and were slaughtered and killed in the name of this religion, this creed, this filthy, vile, contemptible creed, there is no God. Sins of omission. Not only sins of commission, but sins of omission, says David. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works, there is none that doeth good. Not only do they do abominable works, they don't do any good. They don't do the things that they should, that they ought to do. And all they thought about is about themselves. Sin is selfishness. Again, the prodigal son, he takes his dues. "I want my share of the fortune, Father," he says. "I don't want this relationship with you. I don't want your home, and I don't want your rules and your protection. I want nothing to do with you. I just want my share of the booty, and I want to go and do as I please to do in that far off country. I just want to do my own thing. I want to go away from here, and I want to forget that you exist." The word sin, you will have noticed, has the letter I in the center of it. And if you turn that into a capital, you have the very essence of sin, of this creed of unbelief. I, me. What I want is all that matters. That's the outworking. That's the effect. Never mind God. Never mind other people. As long as self is satisfied. Unbelief refuses, omits to give the honour, the worship, the praise, the obedience that is due to God. That is a sin of omission. It refuses, it omits to trust in God as they ought to do. It refuses, it omits any use of the means that God supplies to bring them to a proper and to a safe and to a sane thinking in their minds. That is the means of prayer. That is the means of reading, studying, meditating upon the Bible. That is the means of attending church where they can hear the doctrine of God proclaimed clearly, lucidly, and to their profit, but they neglect all such means that God has appointed for their salvation. That is sin of omission. That which would bring them to a right thinking about God. Then they wouldn't be far from the kingdom of God. So the cure for the cause and the effect, biblical faith in a word. The psalmist's prayer in verse 7, David, he says at the end, "Oh, that salvation of Israel will come out of Zion. When the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad." Where is the salvation of God, the salvation of Israel? Where are you to find it, beloved? But in the Bible, in the Word of God. That's where you find God. That's where you learn about God's salvation. That's where you get your mind informed rightly. Salvation is from the Lord. Salvation, David cries, from captivity. The captivity of this blind and darkened atheistic thinking. Freed from the captivating thought process that leaves God out of the equation, out of the world, the universe, and out of a person's life. Jesus came, he says, to set the captive free. How? By belief in the Bible, its propositions concerning the Son of God. That's what brings salvation. Not some mystical experience, but faith, belief in what God has revealed, the propositions that he lays before us in his word, in the Bible. Belief in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The object of that faith, Christ himself. None other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Acts chapter 4 verse 12. One way only, says Jesus. John 14 verse 6. I am the way. The Son makes you free. He says you shall be free indeed. Oh, you say, but if you could provide me with concrete evidence that God exists, but then that would not be faith, would it? It's by faith. Without it, there is no pleasing God, says the apostle. No righteousness, no reward, no salvation, not without faith. Trusting, believing in the person, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, because God is, that brings upon us responsibility, all of us, responsibility to God. Not only the fact that God is, have we seen through our doctrines, but that God has spoken, and God has spoken clearly, lucidly. Remember, we started with the heart of the matter. We started with what is in the heart, what is in the mind of men, this darkened soul that says there is no God. Oh, the person may not say it outwardly, says David. He may not speak it. He may not propagate it. He may not do so outwardly. In his heart, that's enough. The fool has said in his mind. It's never issued from his lips. It's just inside. It's just in his mind. That's his thinking. That's his philosophy. There is no God. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, Paul says. You come to salvation and you confess that salvation. You confess that there is a God with your mouth. You tell people about Jesus Christ and salvation in his name. You confess, you profess your faith with your mouth. But it is with the heart, it's with the mind that it's received or rejected. That's where it begins, on the inside, beloved, inside in the mind of men and women. They either receive or reject God and his being. Well, says David, the fool, the perverse, the vile, the contemptible person says in his or her mind, there is no God. Faith, believing, believing. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith in the Son of God, the Holy Scriptures that we study, and its doctrines as we study them Wednesday afternoons, those doctrines God requires us to believe. The Holy Scriptures which are able to make thee wise, take away the foolishness, and make thee wise unto salvation through faith. A faith that is grounded in, that is towards Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It brings us back to our New Testament doctrine, simple, straightforward, the command and the promise, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved from sin, from foolish, from insane thinking, from lawlessness, sins of commission and omission, from a salvation that is full and a salvation that is complete. This is the doctrine of evolution. This is its creed. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God, in his mind. But it is foolishness. It is not wisdom, and it is not the wisdom of God that leads to salvation. Amen.